Please rise as we sing praise to God, the highest good. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O gracious God, your servant and apostle James was the first among the 12 to suffer martyrdom for the name of Jesus Christ. Pour out upon the leaders of your church that spirit of self-denying service, that they may forsake all false and passing allurements and follow Christ alone, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the hearing of the word of the Lord.
Reading from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From St. Paul's letter to the Church of Rome, 12th chapter, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, through many, are one, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, in service, in our serving, to the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continuation of the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Well, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you." Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The word of the Lord.
Together as God's people, let us boldly join together in the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is."
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our meditation this day come to us from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, as was read earlier. Now I bring you greetings from the 130-member congregations of the Mid-South District and the 6,000-plus member congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is indeed a great honor and privilege for us to be here today, for us to honor what it is that God has done in the 25 years of ministry that he has given to Pastor Paul Buscher. Martin Luther once wrote, "This epistle to the Romans is truly the most important piece of the New Testament. It is well worth a Christian's time not only to memorize it word for word, but also to occupy himself with it daily as though it were daily bread for the soul. The more one deals with it, the more precious it becomes and the better it tastes." This portion of Paul's letter to the Romans was written for those folks that he had just brought the good news of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by God's grace in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we receive by faith. And when he uses this particular Greek word, summo paraklethenai, he is amplifying this wonderful gift that we have that would be translated into exhortation or energy. I would include that we would call this encouragement. And our scriptures describe one particular man in that first century church. It was very well known by Paul, who had the kind of reputation to encourage everyone. His parents called him Joseph, but the leaders of that early church, after he became one of its leading evangelists, called him something else that stuck with him for the rest of his life and ever since. He was a person who people felt good being around. He believed in the potential of people, and any time that someone would make a mistake, this person would give them a second chance. He was an inspirational speaker, and he enthusiastically and willingly gave all sorts of encouragement. Because of his predisposition to encourage people, the leaders of the early church gave him a nickname, Son of Encouragement, which we know as Barnabas. To be a Barnabas for others is simply exercising that positive influence on their lives. People like encouragement, and this word that we have here in the Greek and in our English word for encouragement simply means to put courage in, like putting power or inspiration that guides another person that they may perform better or at their optimal level. And one of the men that I have seen as an example of encouragement, a real Barnabas, is my friend and my brother in Christ, Reverend Paul Buscher. Paul, today we are here to celebrate the years of ministry that God has granted to you, and that this ministry entrusted to you here in the saints of First Lutheran Church in Knoxville, who are also coincidentally celebrating 145 years of ministry in the Knoxville area. As pastors, we know that we're supposed to be encouraging like Barnabas. We become the doulos, the servants of Christ, called to walk alongside of those who are hurting or dying or ill in one way or the other. We're supposed to find ways to instill this courage, exhortation, in other words, when life has seemed to drain out all of their own courage. But as we well know, that there are times when life just causes people to be discouraged, when it's all drained out from us, when there are things that are beyond our control that take us and bring us down. Maybe those are the sudden torrents of a life-changing event or suffering a long-term chronic disease. Maybe it's some kind of a health crisis or a financial crisis, or maybe it's just those cutting words that comes from a person that we admired and we were close to, but they cut us off. We've all faced those bumps and glitches that happen because we live in a fractured world, and the role of the shepherd of the flock, like Pastor Buescher, is supposed to lead and to guide, to feed, and to heal those wounded by the changes and the chances that happen because we live in that kind of a world. Unfortunately, contemporary Christianity has missed the point for which you, Paul, have dedicated your life. Consumerism has seemed to invade the church. That idea of what's in it for me has permeated even the deepest recesses of the ancient pillars of the visible church. It's almost slick or hip to admit that a person doesn't ever go to church anymore. But what's more discouraging to a pastor than anything else is that low view of gathering together in corporate worship. It's not just that they're missing that worship. It's that low view that they are somehow robbing someone else by their absence if they are not in worship. There's nothing that gets to the very discouragement of a pastor than when those that are faithful to the church do not show up, or they do not heed what is being taught within the church. Somehow it seems that we have forgotten what it means for us to worship and pray together, because we are joined together in that body of Christ, just as Paul wrote to us in this epistle lesson. So this encouragement, or putting courage in, is just the opposite of discouraging. Encouragement means that we are putting in again what has been taken out because we've lived in the part of this world that is fractured, even though God had created a perfect world. And when we put those kinds of healing touches back in, this is what Martin Luther called Seelsorge, the healing of the soul, something that can't be found anywhere else other than the healing balm of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his church. Paul, you have been faithfully one who administers the office of the ministry, just as Barnabas, now the one who is instilling the courage in face of death, in face of giving courage to those who are without hope, giving courage to those that enables them to grow as the courageous children of God, to bring the witness of what it is that Christ has done in their lives to those that are outside the walls of our fellowship. You're a Barnabas who wants and expects people to grow and mature as God's children as he continues to work in them. You've led and guided young men in their early ministries, and you've been an inconspicuous servant of God in this time and in this place, drawing people's attention to where it needs to be, to the saving message of God's forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ and his suffering and death on the cross for our sakes unto life everlasting. Where there's forgiveness, there is eternal life. And you faithfully place the spotlight where it belongs, on our crucified, risen, and coming again Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about Barnabas and that relationship that he had with St. Paul. After his conversion, Barnabas was the first one that was willing to accept Paul. Others were suspicious, but Barnabas brought him in to meet the others, and later he sent Paul off on his first missionary trip into Antioch. He mentored Paul, and the two of them became the most prolific evangelists in the history of the entire Christian church. Soon Paul assumed to become the one that would lead. The son of encouragement, Barnabas, allowed his prodigy to grow, mature, and lead that holy Christian church. Barnabas didn't seek that honor. He wasn't enamored with prestige or position, nor was he enamored with title. He only wanted to serve the God that had called him to eternal salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And he believed in what God would do and would will to do in a person's life when they now have given their life to the service of the church. He willingly stepped aside as God's bidding to allow Paul's ministry to grow and to flourish. Because of his encouragement, Paul then became the greatest and most prolific of the apostles of all of those that are called in the first century church. Paul, you have touched the lives of the sheep and the lambs that have been entrusted to your care in this congregation and the lives of many of the pastors in our area. You've affirmed their capabilities, and you led their zeal in the gospel to continue to grow. Today's celebration is that recognition that our gracious Lord has encouraged you, instilled that courage so that you could lead those who are entrusted to your ministry beyond the simple earthly existence toward the majesty of the promise of an inheritance in the glory of God's kingdom everlasting. The problem with Seelsorge is that unless we see the growing courage, unless we see the better lifestyles, unless we see the deeper dedication or some kind of objective improvements, what it is that we are teaching and preaching and counseling, pastors also can become discouraged. Paul, you know the saying, behind every good man, there's a surprised mother-in-law. But here's a better saying for today. Behind every successful pastor stands God and His Word. That's for you, Paul. Greater things are achieved by the humble, dedicated men when their ministries raise the real Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, to the prominence as the head and the cornerstone of what we stand for. He is the one who gave you the gifts that were needed for this ministry. As St. Paul writes, having the gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, in service in serving, in the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, and the one who contributes with generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Pastors are merely men that have been gifted by the divine significance of God's grace and strengthened by His Word and the courage that is given by God the Holy Spirit. Whatever the Satan and world would throw against us in order to harm these ministry, God turns around for the good of the ministry and for His people and His glory. St. James read this as well as we celebrate in that part of the ministry when he writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Being a Barnabas doesn't necessarily minimize the pain and the suffering that a person will experience, like that being something naively positive. But whatever trials Satan and the world want to throw in our direction, there's always a picture that God is going to give to us, the picture that He continues to be the one that calls, leads, and guides His shepherds to the good of His church and for His holy people. As a Barnabas type of an encourager that helps people to see that, Paul's imprisonment was an opportunity and a gift. Yes, he was captive, but he had a captive audience too. And God turned that bad situation for St. Paul into an incredible good for the eternal well-being of those that he ministered to in prison. Here Paul writes, because of my chains, most of my brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. That's the nature of the ministry. That's the nature of the Christian community that you've led for 25 years, encouraging, having those high values in the community of faith and the fellowship of all of the believers. You have faithfully guided this flock, as the writer of Hebrews would say, let us not give up meeting together as some would be in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. You have inspired hundreds of these saints to know that being a Christian is much more than just a personal belief system. It's belonging to Jesus by the means and the grace that He has given to us in that holy Christian church. Yet, In a humble and a very dedicated way, you've served those beloved sheep that he gave you to watch over, never straying from the vow that you gave 25 years ago. It is therefore my honor and a privilege for me to be here today. Thanks be to God for the gifts that he has given to you, the courage that he's instilled in you. May he grant you many more years of faithful, encouraging service, that we may all hear that great and wonderful day, "Well done, thou good, faithful, and courageous servant, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen." And now may the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, with gratitude and joy, we give thanks this day for Pastor Paul Buescher, who 25 years ago was ordained and consecrated to the office of holy ministry in the one holy Catholic Christian and Apostolic Church. We thank God that he established this office in his church, through which are imparted not bodily but eternal things and gifts, namely eternal righteousness, the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. We praise the Lord that he has permitted his servant to serve his church these 25 years, and that he has sustained and supported him and blessed his ministry among us.
A reading and thanksgiving for Paul's ministry. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus.
Paul, a last word, but hopefully not the least. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the great resurrection chapter, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain."
Please rise for the prayers of the church. Please note, I'll include in the prayers today a prayer of thanksgiving for the meal, such that right after the service, after the final hymn, the pastors will process out during the hymn, and we'll finish the hymn, and you can all go straight down to the reception hall, and the celebration continues there with remembrances and honoring of Pastor Buescher for his 25 years of service. We'll have the prayer here for the meal. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for your rich blessings you poured out to our brother, our faithful servant, Paul. Continue your blessings upon him this day. Give us great joy in the celebrations together. Bless our meal, our time together in the reception hall. Bless Paul's family. Thank you for their travels to be with us. And thank you for all who have come, O Lord, to honor the office, the ministry, and honor your servant, O Lord, Paul. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Finally, for all these things, and for all our needs of body and soul, and we include the meal this day, we give thanks. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you promised to send your servants the Holy Spirit and to give them power from on high. We give thanks that through your word you also called Paul as your servant and entrusted him with the office of the holy ministry. We praise your mercy and faithfulness and ask that you continue to keep him in good health and firm faith. Grant that he may continue to be a blessing to your people and that they may be a blessing to him. Open everywhere the hearts of the faithful, that your word may be received and that laborers in your harvest may not be lacking. Cause your church to grow up into him who is the head, even Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace and joy. The Almighty and the Most Merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and bless you and strengthen you for faithful service in his name. Amen. Congregation may be seated.
Virgin.